Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Malad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. And it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to do so. I tried my best to be motivated and tried to have determination to want to come on the radio. It's not a job. A job in the sense of the word that most people don't like to go to work, but they like to make money, but they don't go to work. They don't feel like going to work. I mean, some people have to. When you have to do what you don't want to do, that can become a major problem. And these things surely occur in life. But to do something you are very ecstatic to do so, and how I look at it is when you're not able to do that was good, that will benefit a great deal of people, as well as benefit yourself, then you're dead, because you can't do it. And then when you wake up and realize you're in the final day of judgment, you find out how easy it is to be able to please God. And so if you would read, it says that most of y'all will be begging. Well, we say most of us, because Satan can turn me around. Most of us will be in the final day of judgment begging Allah to send us back. Back to where? Back to this world. Why would you want to come back to this world? Because you're on your way to hell. And you just found out clearly that you can clear and get rid of all your sins, but only in this world. That's what you forgot. You can only get rid of these sins in this world before you leave here. If you beg Allah on the final day that you look like you're going to pass away, and you pray to God, He will remove those sins. But if you don't remove those sins and you go into the hereafter, well, sorry on you, because it says you'll be crying the first and the final day of judgment, begging, literally begging, crying to God, oh Lord, send me back. Because you now want to do the right thing, but it's too late. You can't come back. You had enough time, but you decide to ignore it. You decide to be of this world, meaning and neglect the hereafter. Isn't that what God says? He said, get a piece of this dunya. This is in Islam. And most people don't know that. Most people don't even know that. That Allah said, get a piece of this dunya. And I'm not talking to you all that don't understand the language of Islam. So you don't even have a clue what dunya is. The dunya is the hereafter. So the brothers and the sisters that understands that word, Allah says, get a piece of this dunya, meaning don't sit around and don't want nothing of the world. Don't sit around and stay broke. Don't sit around and be cheap. Don't sit around and be a peasant. Don't sit around, you don't want to give nobody anything. You don't want to do nothing for nobody. You don't want to help nobody. Yes, some people can help you, because why? They are just waiting till the hereafter. They'll go to work and they come home. They don't know what's going on in the world and don't give a damn. Most of them don't watch TV. Most of them don't watch the radio, because in their mind, that is Satan. And Satan will turn them around. So therefore, they neglect the modern-day technology. And they go all the way back and they follow the companions. Oh, do we respect the companions? Yes, we do. All five of them. Or any more, if that which we don't know about. They was doing what Allah asked them to do. And I'm quite sure most of them went to paradise. But if you talk about the five companions, three of them, one got their head cut off. Another one was stabbed to death. And the other one, I believe, got beat up terribly. All three of them died, being the companions, because these things happened. So you don't want to follow that. You don't want to be stabbed to death, and you don't want to be
get your head cut off. But that was war back then. And by that war, these things happened. But your father and your mother don't live in this world and try not to make a way for you. They try to give everything. They don't want you to go through the hell they went through. And they didn't have to get their head cut off. They didn't have to get stabbed to death. But they don't want you to go through the trials and errors that they have been through. So therefore, we don't want to go through what the companions went through. But we realize they exist. But what are you doing today? What are you doing for yourself? Because the companions can't die for you and the companions can't talk for you. So tell me, brothers and sisters, what are we doing? Do we have an understanding of these things that we won't give to no one else? Isn't that amazing? We don't want to give this to nobody else. We want to keep it for ourselves. And so, therefore, that's a sin, whether you like it or not. And you could teach your child, you can teach your aunts and your uncles, but you don't come around them. You don't even associate with them. So how are you going to propagate the religion? You propagate the religion by going to the masjid, and you're at the masjid with people that pretty much know. So you have to teach them that, well, that's the imam's job. Now, I'm quite sure if someone asks you a question, you're supposed to speak. But the masjid is full with the same people you've seen in the last 10, 15, 20 years, two decades. But where's the new people? You ever thought about that? Where is the new people? I don't think you talk to them. So how is anyone going to come to El Islam when they don't know anything about it and nobody talks to them about it? Well, you don't leave that wall. You don't leave that rug. You don't leave that masjid. You don't leave it to go out to see if you can at least inform them. But we got so that we don't even want to come around them. I remember when the Shura Board and some of the Shura Board of Imam Wolfstein Muhammad, we went to see a Reverend, very, very successful Reverend, a man that had done so much for so many people. And that individual that we went to be with, he spent a lot of time, and this Reverend went overseas, and this Reverend had brought back the gentleman that was held in hostage and brought him back. He was in Iraq. So he's known for that, and he pushed hard to stop the electric chair. You couldn't kill nobody in the state of New Jersey. He was able to get that done. And a very, very successful church. Built a beautiful school, beautiful church. He was preaching for a long time, but he was from New York. But he was loved here. One of the churches got to go way back. You know, like the church that Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, when he fled from Mecca. Where did he end up at? In Medina. Well, that kind of church. Those are churches that believe there's only one God. He and I became very close, and he asked us would I bring the brothers to the church, and I did. It was about 20 of us. We all showed up, and we was happy to be there with him. And he was so excited. He said two things, brothers and sisters. He said, you know, if the power to be knew that we was together, he would shake their whole life. That the Christians and the Muslims is interacting. He said, all we could be doing is breaking bread. And they are not going to like it. When it was over, he said, let's hold hands. Let's hold hands. And let's pray. His name is Bill Howard, Reverend Bill Howard. But he also known as a man that stands strong for what is right. And I had a great love for him for many reasons. And likewise, I remember years ago, I was in a hospital for whatever reason I was there. And he was very angry with me because I didn't tell him that I was in the hospital. He said, don't you ever go to a hospital and don't inform me because I would have been there. You can't make this kind of stuff up. These are people that love you for many reasons. And we should love each other like that. So he wants us to make prayer. So, brother, I don't want to call his name out, but there was a brother, an imam. He said, excuse me, Reverend, I want to be truthful with you. And the Reverend replied, we've been here for over an hour. You've been lying? So everybody had to laugh at that. I'm quite sure the brother didn't mean he was lying. But he wanted to tell him the truth, that he don't pray in a church. He said, oh, you don't? He said, no. So there is time for awesome prayer. And all your brothers that want to follow me, there's a masjid close by. We can go and make asa. And if it was 20 of us, at least 6 walked out with him. Now that disturbed me, but I didn't say nothing because those were my brothers. I cannot stab a brother in the head who was not there to defend himself. So I remember Pasha, may Allah be pleased with him, he was there. And Pasha read a surah of the Quran to Dr. Howard. And when he read it, it was literally showing us that we, the Muslims, can pray any place of a house of worship. He said, no problem, brother. I said, but Reverend, you can lead us in prayer. And his response was, he just prayed. Now, brothers and sisters, I smiled because right away it hit my nature. I understood exactly what he's saying. Now, here's a man that's in Christianity, theology. And you cannot become a doctor in theology and don't learn the Quran. Now, whether they accept it or reject it, they got to learn it in order to get that degree. Now, in fact, brothers and sisters, there's not a man in any part of this government don't read the Quran. Why, I'm here to tell you that Willie Lynch read the Quran. If I can recollect, because it's not my topic, I'll say a few words about Willie Lynch. Why, I'm saying to you, he read the Quran. So these people are not slow at all. But what touched me when he said, already made the prayer, because Imam Pasha from the area in which he's come from, and I grew up under him, Paterson, New Jersey. Reverend knew that surah, so he already prayed. Now, how is it that he knew that was a no-no? But we say we leaders, we say we know the Quran and do not know it. Let me throw on that a little bit so you can get a more clearer understanding. And I preached this the other day, and I said to you all out there in Radio Land, that in the Quran, we, under Islam, we must protect all houses of worship. All houses of worship. So that means if someone is fighting the Christians and come against them in their house of worship, we have to go there and help protect them. We can lose our life. If they trying to steal their sacred belongings, not secret, sacred, that we're supposed to protect it, we can lose our life. So you're telling me that Allah put us in harm's way. He's the best knower. But we can give our life, but we can't pray in their house of worship. But we can give our life. Does that make sense? Common sense tell you that is totally wrong. Well, let's go a little further. See, the uncle to Revelation of the prophet, the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace and blessings be upon him, he was chased out of Mecca. His own uncle was trying to kill him because they love these idol gods. And he was speaking against 160 gods. Nevertheless, fled. And where did he end up at? A church just like the church that I'm talking about, because they go way back. Those are the Baptist ministers that believe that God is one. So when the enemy found out that he was in Medina, they came in and they asked the king to turn him over. He said, why would I turn him over? Tell me why. He said, because he believes in one God. Priests said, so do I. So he refused to give him up. Now, if he had gave him up, they would have killed the prophet. But Allah protect them, because Allah says in the Quran, if my earth is plentiful with angels, I will send you an angel. Allah sends men to men. That man helped him and protect them for 10 years. Now, brothers and sisters, there was an on the land, 1,000 buildings like it's here in America or anywhere around the country, around the world, pardon me. Where did the prophet make sajda? Because you can make sajda on Allah's earth, because this whole earth is a masjid. But why would you go out in the snow? It's a sandstorm. You got to be inside. So you're telling me because the weather would not allow Prophet Muhammad to go outside on bad weather, he wasn't going to pray? So where did he pray? He prayed in the sacred house, church. Now, did they have crosses? I can't tell you that. I wasn't there. All we know, it was a church. Did they have any idol things sitting on the wall? I don't know. But the brother, Imam, who said he was not going to pray, called it a church. Now, he couldn't say it was anything on the wall, because in that building where they pray at and worship, we weren't in there. It was on the attic part of the building, where he has his meetings. So therefore, that wasn't even the place that they prayed. But he refused because it was named church. And this ain't no little imam. This imam had 700 to his masjid. But the point was, he made us look like we were stuck on stupid. If someone that was not an imam have done it, you can give him a pass. He don't know no better. But how is it? How is it that we come to the level of Eman and can't comprehend, we can't comprehend the houses of worship? Now, brothers and sisters, you go into your mother's house who raised you. And she got a picture of her husband. She got a picture of her mother and father. She got a picture of her children. Because you have evolved in a new school of thought, of knowledge, you don't want to go in your mother's house. Why? She got pictures. Why? She got a mirror on the wall. Why? Well, some got a cross on the wall. Some got an image of Jesus on the wall. You see, why can I pray in there? Because Allah is all seeing God. And Allah is the best knower. And Allah judges you by your heart, at your rituals. Do I think that that's on the wall is more important to me to bow down in Saja? I'm in my mother's house. I'm in my aunt's house. I'm in my uncle's house. I'm in my children's house if they're not in Hell Islam. Does that make sense? Yes, it makes sense if you weak for the physical, if you spooked up and think that that's going to convert you over to them. Yes. Yes. It just shows who's that person. Who is that person? Your mother needs you. And she went to the liquor store, went to the bar. And you know how to say, I can't go in that bar. Your mama laying on the floor, nobody knows what to do with her. I didn't know you was an alcoholic. And if you saw liquor, you would want it. See, I got to give that one a pass. Because they weaken their spirit. They weaken their soul. They weaken their being and future. They're weak that they are fearful that something like that that's physical is going to stop them from making such a. Let me give you a little more clarity. Because you don't know which way is east. Because most family members don't know which way to eat. So, brother so-and-so, why didn't you make prayer? Well, I didn't know which way was the east. It says distinctly, clearly, simple, in the Holy Quran, nor east nor west is not righteousness. Whoa. That means you can roll on the floor because you got a stomach ache, but the stomach looks like an ache is going away. So wherever way you turn, you can make salah. Because Allah said, nor the east nor the west is righteousness. What is righteousness? Your good intention. For Allah know you didn't intend to pray there, but you have no other reason why not to pray there. Okay, since you didn't comprehend that, and since you stubborn individuals will jump off the phone and run like a spineless individual, not spineless as you can fight, you can throw a left hook, a right hand, or you're a great martial. I'm talking about spineless in your belief in God. You're spineless. Let's see what Allah said. Will you eat pork, brother? No, you will not eat pork. You will go to your mother's table and be very highly upset with her. Whoa, would you be upset with her? And the reason you will be upset with her is because your mama got pork on the plate. No, brother, that's your mama. Eat around it. Eat everything you can eat. And mama say, you didn't eat the meat. Hey, it's war. war between her understanding and your understanding. Oh, Ma, I don't eat meat. Furthermore, my stomach bothering me. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I went and gave you the pork. But you don't disrespect your mama. Well, Prophet Muhammad says, if your mother wants to go to church, you put her on your shoulder and carry there. That's your mama. You have no right to tell your mother what she should believe, what she shouldn't, more or less anybody else. You don't dictate. Allah don't need you to do that. You say it all the time, brothers, sisters. For Allah makes Muslims. And in your mind, Allah made you Muslim because you said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Get out of kindergarten. When Allah breathed into the nostril of your father, Adam, you was Muslim. Because you were Allah. Everything was dead, including that earth. So you were saying your mother didn't come out of that earth? But you on that island. 2 days went by. Week went by. Another week. You dying, man. The only thing running around is a pig. Well, let's see what Allah says. Permissible to eat that pig. But don't pig off on it. He's just enough to keep you alive. So if Allah said you could eat the pig, how is it that you hate your mama? You hate your mama that don't know, put some pig on your plate. But the vegetables are clean. We so far off the pattern is unbelievable. And that's because we don't learn to teach ourselves. We don't learn amongst ourselves. What do we learn? How? First it was the white folks. Now it's the foreigners. They become our God. Because we believe that because of the color of their skin, we believe because of their success with all and gold and silver, we believe that we're inferior to them, so we allow them to teach us. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. And brothers and sisters, you all that sits under that stupidity, you're getting just what you deserve. No progress whatsoever. And we have these different interfaces. You in one face. But when it's all over, you'll be shocked how they laugh at you because of your understanding. Turn no rabbi around. You're not going to turn a Christian around, a Hindu around. That's not your job. And anybody else that chose to go to another religion. So let's see what Allah says about that. Allah says to all of them that didn't accept al-Islam, you still can make it. But he said, believe in one God. He's not accepting no three gods. Believe in one God and the hereafter and will be no burden on you. There it is. So if Allah says it, who in the world is you to go against what God said? And then you wonder why we divided. For your uncle, your mother, your aunt been here way before you. I'm quite sure you didn't pick their brain because they know the history. They know the history. There's a lawyer teaching young children the law. About these trillions of dollars they spending in front of us and we don't get one nickel. He's fighting them in the court of law. And I make a dua for him. May Allah bless him to win. Because how many lawyers is fighting that? Now I heard, and I was told by my wife, that there was a young lady went to jail for not paying taxes. Did 8 years, but came home and won her case. She never gave up. And I spoke on that about Wesley Snipes. There is a law that if you never sign that piece of paper that they give you that say they can remove your taxes from your pay, you don't have to pay taxes. But they ain't letting us get away with that. The black man and the black woman do not get away with anything that they can get away with, because the rules were not created by us. But it takes a very powerful lawyer with the ability that he or she will not quit is going to overturn that ruling. We got a very few of them, because most of our lawyers are lazy. They'll tell you they at court, they'll tell you they're busy, they'll tell you, but you can't even get to them. That's not communication at all, especially when your life is on the line. But we are so sad that nobody gives a damn. Because you don't even care about yourself. You don't care about anyone. So I observe these things are happening, and they all are happening for a reason. So I was asked about Harris, who might become the president of the United States of America if they win, God willing. But we were here to ridicule them. And you know what Jesus said? Listen to what Jesus said. Because even those who came from slave as a slave and rehabilitate, you know that this Caucasian does whatever it wants to do. You know that. And they'll put us in a very, very, very precarious position that we're not going to get the same treatment. Why? Because we're not together. And because we're not together, we suffer the consequences that we do not have to suffer. But because we are separated and we don't care about each other, they target us. They come down on us. It's got to stop. But it's not going to stop with one or two or three of us. You got to bring 80 or 90% of us together and move as one. Now you're powerful. There's no way Bill Cosby should be sitting in jail. But hell, he's fighting on his own. Now all the good things he brought us, Fat Albert, hey, 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 the Custables, and anything else he did. But you forgot about that because in your mind, he's guilty. Now, how many of you all is guilty? If you go and check your record of what you did before you came to El Islam, you'll realize that you had one of the most filthy lives there ever was. Most of y'all went to jail, not because you wanted to help people, because you was a pimp, you was a hustler, you was a drug dealer, you was everything that was low. Those are the ones that questions. Those are the ones that don't want to look in the mirror and see themselves. But they want to judge everybody else. It's like a guy with a beautiful suit on. Ah, he's sharp. But he passes by, everybody laughing at him because he got a hole right in his butt. You can actually see his naked butt. He didn't know he had that hole back then. Because why? He can't look back there. Now, that's just a metaphor to tell you you got a hole in your soul. And everybody sees it. Because the only time you can motivate people is your character. Your character is everything. Your character tells you how you feel internally. Your character tells you whether you believe or you don't believe. It doesn't lie. You see, a hypocrite, brothers and sisters, can lie to you and do all the rituals, and you believe he's not a hypocrite. Because he's not going to tell you he's a hypocrite. But a junkie, he wants to talk to you, but he's hanging. He's almost touching the ground with his head, but he stands up. He's trying to balance himself. You know he's a junkie. So what's the difference? The junkie that can rehabilitate, he's not going to hell, but that is going to hell. But that one that you say is not efficient, or God is not efficient, yes, you can see it right away. You can see it right away because he's hanging. So he loves that drug. That's his God. Well, the same way with that one is not hypocrite, because he ain't intelligent to be a hypocrite. He's hypocritical. He has no character. So right away you say, ah, thank you, Allah, because I surely don't want to be like that. And it's okay that this bird is just running around doing things they're not supposed to do and gets caught. But when you got emails that ignores you, you got emails that want to be arrogant and big-headed and won't even help you. Brothers and sisters, this stuff I can't make up. But I remember very distinctly, my wife said to me, you have to take this young lady across town. And I said, no problem. But she was in a wheelchair. Oh, what I was supposed to say? Oh, no, that wheelchair ain't getting in my trunk. We had to put the wheelchair in the trunk, put it in the automobile, and take her where she wanted to go. Why? You ain't going to say no to your wife. And you're not going to say no to a handicap. Maybe to a brother that's too lazy to walk, catch a bus. Maybe. I'm saying that didn't happen, but that could. And you might overrule that. But this is a handicap. So in the automobile, I asked a distinguished question. I just had to be simple. I wanted to know something. So I was very clear with it. I said, did you understand what the imam was saying? She hesitated. I said, it's okay. I like to know. So I don't understand a word he said. Now, we ain't in no foreign masjid. We in an English-speaking masjid, man that came up through the ranks, that came up through the hell, born in the inner city. You didn't understand? She said, no, I didn't. I said, well, why you came out? She said, I took Shahada 2 months ago. I said, oh, you have? I said, do the imam know you? She said, I've been trying to see him for 2 months. Did he give you your shahada? He said, yes. What was the reason? He kept telling me he was busy. Then when I finally got to him, he shunned me off. I said, you got to be kidding. She said, yes. So I said, well, where do you want to be dropped off at, sister? She said, the bank. I said, you want me dropped off at the bank? Yes. You okay? Oh, yes. People know me around here. And she had money. And in my mind, she was trying to give to the masjid, but she wanted to do it through the email. He blew it. Because his arrogance. So right away, something's wrong with him. And ever since then, he's been going down and down and down and down. I stopped sitting around. I went to him many times and said, you're showing off, brother, but you got men on the floor that is on drugs. You got men on the floor that sell drugs. You got men on the floor trying to keep a marriage. You got men on the floor trying to find jobs. But you teach in Arabic. How do you think you're going to raise them like that? Because most of them in our neighborhood is taught not to raise you. They get paid to not to raise you. They get paid. You think something's wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. What we need to do is called their hand. You see, brothers and sisters, it's just amazing to me. It bothers me. My God, does it bother me. Every mass tier, everyone, gets a cut. Now, don't let it be a decade. Where is the money? Where is the money? Who's overcharged the money? And yet, they got so many different excuses. One, this ain't the time, and then we sit down to tell you what you need to know. Hell, man, everybody that gives, you need to tell them how much, and more important, why you think that they don't care anything about us, because the man's never told you how much interest they draw. Now, interest for a year, that's not too much, but 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, where did the interest go? You don't know nothing about it. They're not going to tell you anything about it. The difference from them and Reverend Fishback is Reverend Fishback getting paid to be a liar, get paid to not be transparent, get paid to be who he is. And he got millions. These birds are broke. They got what we used to call in the world, when you think you got a lot of money, what they used to say, that's nigger money. That's what they used to say, because we don't have no real money. And the reason we don't never have no real money, because we ain't together. Everything we want, food, clothing, shelter, comes from someone else that don't look like us. Hell, I wish it was one that looked like us. I wouldn't complain. You get your clothes from that brother. You get your bean pie from that brother. You get your meals from that brother. You get your halal from that brother. Everything comes back. No, sir. No, sir. Now, there's 1%. That has been this. But the 9%, the 90% don't look like us. Curse, you tell me what is. And who allows this Satan to do this? Satan knows that if you are a crook and you are a deceiver and you are a liar and you bow your head, I got you. For Allah don't like you because you're not doing the right thing. This is Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise. When I speak, and I come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and all my people that is speaking on this radio show tells you the truth. You just don't want to listen, and you think this is a game. This is not a game. All you got to do is weigh yourself. If you was able to live from 50,000 down, that's you. You was able to do that. But you never got to 100 because you never been around. No one can bring you to 100. So you're going to stay right there. Association brings about assimilation. Then if you got 100,000 a year, now you're a little complacent. You figure you don't need no more. But if you're around people that understand what is 100,000 and they millionaires, whoa, it rubs off. Association brings about assimilation. But they don't want you to think that you're supposed to have money. How are you going to get a piece of this dunya? This is what Allah said. Get a piece of this dunya, meaning get your gold, get your silver, get your land, get your homes, your schools of thought. So on the road, get your land to grow your own cattle, your own meat. Where is it? Well, we don't believe that we supposed to, the dunya means just do enough. That's not what Allah says. Well, all of y'all don't have that ability. So what makes the Caucasian rich that he didn't teach us in school? Wall Street. Yes, they make 60 a year, but they take about 5,000 every year to invest it. So some man named Bill Gates, that you put your 5,000, you're a millionaire. Warren Buffett, you're a millionaire. Steve Sauer, you're a millionaire. Invest in ABC or Walt Disney, you're a millionaire. but you don't invest in your own community. So why would Allah give it to you? That you so hung up, just like to talk, but can't produce anything. And it's a shame, it's a disgrace. I've seen a man climbing a mountain. And he was climbing the mountain. He was at the end of the string and all his family members up top. But the rope was splitting. So he told him to cut the rope so y'all can live. The wife didn't want it. The daughter wanted it. He told his son, then I tell you, cut that rope. You want to save your mother and your siblings, cut this rope. And that's the wrong part wrong with the emails. They can't take you any further, but they don't want you to cut the rope. Just like he went down that mountain and died, they'll die. They will die. As this phrase is, a dead man walking. So they can't do nothing. They can't produce nothing else. So they hold on. They hold on. And got all y'all just standing there. Brothers and sisters, COVID-19 is no joke. But where is it that you can go to learn how vital organs? Where is it that you can go and learn how to protect your children's vital organs? And you wonder why the children are out there, because they don't see nothing you do. Nothing. You don't produce nothing. There's nothing that they can have for their grandchildren, for your grandchildren. So they said, why would I want to be a part of that? And we thought it was just the clothing. Well, you wear any clothes you want. That's your prerogative. You want to get away from your culture? That's your prerogative between you and Allah. But we all got something in common. We broke. And they are wealthy. So this lawyer is fighting. He's fighting very strong to say, you telling me that y'all make trillions of us paying our taxes, of us giving to this and giving to that. You take it from us and you won't allow the black companies to be over that kind of money or to be over some of them trillions of dollars. And they literally tell them, no, we ain't giving it to you. But this brother went not quit. And that's the way you have to be. I'm going to say this, and I'll get to my topic. I want to say this. Minister Louis Farrakhan has got to be one of the most powerful men out there today with the youth. Because everything a part of him, doctors, lawyers, TV, networks, and they got their own world in the world. But he was called in. I want you to think about this, and I keep telling you about informers. He was called in, Ms. Farrakhan. Now, I match Ms. Farrakhan against all your men that say, Laila, Yilala, Muhammad, Rasulullah, that's not doing nothing for someone else. For yourself, yes. For your family, yes. But you ain't doing nothing for the community. Now, here's a man that stands up and helps everybody. He comes to the aid of the Christians. He comes to the aid of the brothers that get in trouble. He comes to he does it all. So they call him in. Beautiful in New York. And the gentleman kept calling him Louis. He said, sir, my name is Louis Farrakhan. And you would call me Farrakhan, you call me Louis, but not Louis. He said, okay, Louis. So he realized he couldn't do nothing with him. But the man wanted to see him downstairs. It's a true story, because I don't think he would lie. So he's downstairs with him. He said, Louis, I knew he was in New York, because all of a sudden, he was on every news. Ms. Louis Farrakhan came to New York. Ms. Louis Farrakhan said, whoa, they're giving him publicity. So he said, Louis, you know I can make you a martyr. When you die, you'll be famous. I'll keep your name alive. But we'll put the media behind you. He said, oh, that sounds pretty good to me. He said, but you got to say what I tell you to say. He laughed just like I'm laughing. He said, you want me to only speak the way you want me to speak? Yes. And you'll never regret it. He said, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Cannot do it. He said, all right, Louis, we're going to have to get you. And you don't see him on no news. You don't even see the radio station mentioning Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's what they do. You don't play their game, they shut you down. Now, when you play that game, they got one up on you. Because most of our people are playing that game. And that game is they have lost their morals. Hey, brother so-and-so, you know we got you on tape. You turned against the Nation of Islam. You turned against El-Islam. You turned against these brothers. You'll do what we tell you. We're putting your name in the paper the same way with sex. Hey, isn't that you, brother? Yeah. Well, you either do what we tell you to do or we will expose you that you're playing with a little girl. You having sex in our hotel. You didn't think we're going to take pictures of you? Now, if you'd have came out the closet and said, brother, that I'm a homosexual, but we got you going with men. And this is how they rule us. But you got an opening with Epstein. Epstein was a master. All those beautiful, gorgeous mansions he had TV just like it was NASA. He had all the technical way in your weakness. And most of these mayors are sold out, can't help you. There's a law that only them can make a decision. And their decision against every black man that wants something in the city. I'm a victim. Not once, not twice, three times. I got it. That's why I know now. Because they cannot help you. The same way with your rappers. The same way with your players. If you mess up, there was a brother. I don't want to mention his name, but he was a great running back. I mean, a great running back. But he had a lot of mouth. And I asked the question, why is he running the ball too much? And a professional told me they're trying to get him hurt. Hurt? Why would they do that? They want to get rid of him. They want to get rid of him. And he's hurt. He ain't played since he's been hurt. That's how bad they hurt him, running him almost 20 times in a game. You don't do that to your best running back. And then you watch TV and that same man is on Skid Row. This is what they do to us. Very articulate, very handsome young man. Come from a good family. They messed him up. You don't do what we tell you to do. So you think that they're going to let us, 400,000 of us in New Jersey, they got our number, 400,000. You think they're going to let you not know, they not know what they're going to do tomorrow? They got informers. They're all around us. And that's why we're not progressing, because you don't know the difference. However, call Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, where I speak. I know it and a whole lot more, but you won't let us tell you. But it's not just you with your selfless self. Your children are suffering for your stupidity. You don't even know what's going on. We got all these different schools of thought. Well, hell. Only school thought I know, because I had a brother tell me that, He said, Brother Murad, remember, Warsi Muhammad, the only one with a school of thought. I said, Brother, don't you ever give my leader a school of thought. You know what? Remember, Warsi Muhammad learned to Uswa Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's what he followed, the nature in which he was created. Because we can't be prophets or messengers of God, but we sure can duplicate what's our leader that was given to us. Because that's what Allah has done. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Radi Rahimin. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We give praise to Allah for creating the heavens and the earth and everything between them. We thank Allah for giving us the enlightening of how we should conduct ourselves with a perfect example in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And we salute the Prophet with the excellent salute given to mankind. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion. I openly bear witness there is only one God. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad of 1400 years ago is the seal of the Prophet. But brothers and sisters, for you not to study the Bible and learn the Bible, you wouldn't know the Christians and you wouldn't know yourself because you was a Christian saying you was in Christianity. But you will find out by reading the Quran, you can see the Quran even better from the first revelation before the Quran was created. And that's the holy book. Now, we don't stay in there because a lot of things in there that they change. Go to the Old Testament. Because anything God created, you can't change it. Can't change what's in the Holy Quran. But we read and we hear and we obey because you're not going to comprehend it overnight. You have to grow with it. And only Allah will give you that development growth. So I born in America of an immigrant parents. Does that make you an American citizen? And the reason why I made that my topic, because we in Islam should be able to figure that out. But I make it so clear that those who are not in Islam should comprehend, because we all got common sense. And what makes that common sense so valuable, a gift? You say, well, I got a associate degree, I have a bachelor degree, I got a master degree, I got 2-3 doctorate degree. It does not all them together, all them degrees does not equal common sense. And there's a book out. I remember my wife saying to me, read this book, dear. And I said, what's the name of it? Who made sense common? I said, who wrote it? She said, a doctor. I said, I don't need to read it. Why you won't read it? I said, because if he need to know who made sense common, why would I need to read that? Right away, I dismiss it. And then because you got to live with your wife and she's a little upset, so I said, did you read it? Yes. I said, okay, anytime I want to know anything about it, I'll come to you. But I'm not wasting my time. For common sense was given to us by Allah in the womb of your mother. That makes it special. That makes it supersedes this world. Common sense. So we all got common sense. At least we say we do. We have common sense. So common sense should tell you that something is wrong with this understanding that most people have, that they can't grasp the simple understanding. For Mr. President, yes, he's Mr. President, he's my president because why? He got in office, however he got there, been there for close to 4 years. But keep in mind, Mr. President, your parents is from Germany. You have a son through the womb of a female is from a foreign country. But it's clear evidence. If you're born in this country, you're American. I don't care how you slice it. For the Jews comes from where? Jerusalem. The African Americans came from where? Africa. But I was never born on the soil of Africa. And that means I was on the soil of the North America. The United States of America is where I come out of my mother's womb. So that makes me American. So you can't say Senator Harris is running for vice president. She's an immigrant. But her mother from India, her mother from India birthed her here in America. So she's American. Now, why she isn't and you're not? Why she isn't and all of us in African America that came from Africa is not America? Because it doesn't apply to the law of this country. My mother could be pregnant with me in Kansas City, but she gave me birth in North New Jersey. Say I was born in Canada, or pardon me, Kansas City. I was born in Newark. So I can't take the credit of Kansas City. Likewise with the whole entire country. You born on this soil and you was pregnant elsewhere, and most people have came into this country just like that to get American citizen. More important, if this was so, I'll close on this, if this was so, you know how many foreigners, children, are senators, congressmen, mayors, and et cetera? Then why don't you shut them all down? But those parents were smart. And they are so smart that they supersede the African Americans, because there's more foreigners around this country is in powerful positions. In some powerful positions. And they run and beating you all. Now this woman that just won, I forgot what state she's from, but you know who I'm talking about. That she ran against a Republican, been around for years, but she knocked every door, thousands of doors, went to thousands of meetings, and sat down and mingled with the people, and that's who put her in. 400,000 of can put us in office. Brothers and sisters, if you'd have ran for governor, you'd have beat the governor that's in now in the state of New Jersey. But we ain't together. So all we had to do was unite around the country and put in who we want. Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie, brothers and sisters. So this is the problem. And Allah does not like that we're not one ummah. That's my humble opinion. Hope that y'all understand, because this stuff is going crazy out here. And it's a shame because we should know better. But Allah says in the Quran, God says we need moral people to teach our children, good teachers, to help the people. Moral. This is what Allah says, moral people. You know what morals is, brothers and sisters? Now, I have millions of dollars. And what comes to my mind, the angel says, tell them this. I'm in the network. You have to understand, and it's now coming out. I created live boxing to HBO, not Don King, not Bob Arum. I went into NBC and got these high ratings in prime time, not Arum, not Don King. I've done the impossible thing. But let me tell you what they tell you. Right. Why are you giving that guy so much money? He deserves it. $4 million, why you gotta take $6 million? I said, because $6 million was I feel he deserves. Well, what about yourself? Don't worry about me. I work for him. He put his life on the line. That's why I always say they paid so and so fighter X amount of dollars. I don't lie. Do we negotiate? Yes. Some are in grace, one and all. But they said, we'll give you 3 dates. You'll give me 3 dates. Yes. Pretty good. That's at least another million and a half in my pocket with those 3 dates. Saying who I'm selling. But I can make good money with that. Sounds good to me. What do you want me to do? Don't give him no 6 million. Give him 5. Now, what he is saying, negotiate for yourself and worry about the fight a second. I say, excuse me, first law of nature is first preservation. So it's his first, I cannot represent me. Because if I represent me, he's going to lose. Self-preservation is something that anybody wants to do for himself. But I can't do it. Because I serve the one who's all seeing, God. Hey, look at me. So I want that 6 million. Hey, good. I said, oh, by the way, how about those 3 dates? Don't you tell me they don't sell out behind the wall. But what Allah says, we need moral people to teach our moral children. See, they're born with morals. The world has not turned them. You turned and lost your morals. We need good teachers to help the people. It's written in Scripture. God says there was never a group of people that he did not send a messenger of God to them for their community. This is Allah talking in the Quran. So nobody can complain, but you African American, you black man that's in this country, you believe one is not coming. Allah sent a messenger, this is what he says. Can no one say that he didn't send a messenger of God to them? Look like we are, because we don't believe it. And all of them look like the people that grew up in that community. One of them is Allah. God raised up a messenger and prophets amongst the powers of the people. Whoa, Pharaoh and Egypt was a power of the people, but one was raised up. Moses was raised up. He raised Moses. Moses was over his army. Moses was raised up. He made a mistake and punched that African American. I know you thought you was white. I know you thought you was a Caucasian, but he had to knock out that man that knocked out his brother. Now, how did he know his brother in his nature? You know the story. That teaching is in the Holy Quran. I believe that is in the Bible and the Torah. I do. For Allah comes and raised one amongst us. Like the native people we call Indian. Native Indian. That's what we call them. That's what we refer to them. And so, but we don't understand. Harris is not a native Indian. But what is Harris? She's from India. But she's not an Indian. But look at the Indians. The Indians, everything that grows out of the earth that exists, you know, trees, water, rain, even the stars, brothers and sisters, including you and I, it includes ourselves. To them, all that has a message. Wow. They don't have the Quran, but in their nature, they're saying all of that has a message. Some of them believe that today. The message for the man's mind, for the thinking. Ah, his conscience. So that means someone in their native Indian was thinking. So they was thinking. Their mind was thinking. God says that in the Holy Quran. There are signs in heaven and there are signs in the earth. Also, there is a sign in you and I. This is the Indians talking. Were they reading the Holy Quran? Nope. But how could they say that? It's in the Quran. You know what the problem is? God says, most people do not pay attention to the sign. But there are some people that do. Read, Muhammad. Iqra. Read in the name of your Lord created. So here you have the native Indians believing that everything that grows out of the earth is a message to man, man's mind. Now, brothers and sisters, if you go and check my background, all my family came from Jerusalem, and came from being a native Indian. I'm not confused. I'm convinced. I'm blessed. Because that's humanity. And because that's humanity, and I thank my children. Yes, I'm going to say it openly. I thank them. Because they read the Quran. They said it 4 years old every morning. I didn't make them. They wanted to read. They wanted to make sajda. They want to fast in the Holy Month of Ramadan because we wait till 9 or 10 years old before we force them to do anything like that. But these kids were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, and they had something that other children have. They read the Quran every morning. And then their daddy teaches after every prayer. And these men and women are educated. They are educated. But I didn't teach them to go marry a Caucasian. I didn't teach them to go marry a Latino and so forth and so on. He was a free man in the city, had a free spirit, and went out and married. So not only is my grandmother is a Jew and a Caucasian, I got daughter-in-laws that's Caucasians. I got grandchildren and daughter-in-laws that's Latinos. We're blessed. And I didn't teach them that. You know how we teach. We're the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, follow civilization, God of the universe. We're strong. But when you go out there free, you learn. Now, one thing I have to say about all my sons, I said, long leg, but they go and get married. They don't run through women. Married. If you're out your mind, they'll go get another wife. But I taught, you hear me, boy? You're not going nowhere unless you get a wife. You hear me? Yes, sir. And my wife used to say, do you think they understand? Yes, they understand. 5 years old. Taught get married. We don't run through women. And all my boys, I got a lot of them, they get married. You say, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. So this is the Indians. They're telling you this. This is how they thought, brothers and sisters, that they figured that the earth, when Allah says, God says, that is, in the Holy Quran, it says that there are signs in the heaven, there are signs in the earth. Also, there are signs in you. This is God talking. God said most people don't pay attention. You're not paying attention. You listen, but you're not paying attention. And you see, I got a track record of doing the impossible. How did I do it? I'm the greatest promoter of all time. That's just my saying. If it wasn't for, I'd be remiss to you. It has to be Allah. I just wanted to do things to help people and not do it just for myself. So the messenger and the prophet begin on their journey seeking for what? Knowledge. Knowledge, brothers and sisters. They went out and seek for knowledge. This is what Allah is saying to us. How could we not understand that? How could we not realize what is knowledge? And that's what God is saying to us. You have to seek for the truth. They didn't give up. They met with God. If they had not met with God, they would have given up. But they went out seeking God, and they didn't give up. Persevering, repetition, they didn't give up. Are you giving up? Are you giving up, brothers and sisters? We don't want nothing out of life. This is it. Because most of us are 50, 60, 70, 80. Is this it? This is all you want? You don't want to leave a legacy behind? You're not going to leave a legacy behind like Rockefeller, the Trumps, Buffett, Gates. You're not going to leave that kind of legacy. You will be able to create our own legacy as one ummah. Look at our schools. Look at our hospitals. Look at our place of business. Look at our restaurants. Look at our farmland. Look at our cattle raised beautifully. If it gets sick, we have to take them out. We can't feed you this sick food. You don't know what you get. You just close your eyes. Yes, the boy. Yes, the master. You ain't open, I'll get in line, master. I'll wait until you allow me to come in and buy what you bring me. This is organic. How in the hell you know it's organic? But go up in the Jewish neighborhood, 90%, 9 out of 10, it's going to be right. Go ahead down there in the ghetto. We'll see what you got. I'm sorry, this is real, but we don't care. We just eat it. Nobody tells us how to eat. We don't care. We just want to just get overweight and die. We don't want to exercise. We don't want to do nothing. That's not what Allah wants for us. So those men went and they met with God because they didn't give up. They were thinkers. They was also called seers. They would look into the nature and they see what advantage, what could advantage them to allow them to grow. And they saw people that cannot see. The average person can't see. They don't see what the messengers and the prophets saw. They can't see it. So they look into nature and they see the average people cannot see that. So they was called seers. S-E-E-R-S is in the Quran, seer. They were seers. Later they were called prophets. They can see things. They also can prophesy that God gave them, but they were searching. It was interesting in trying to find God. Did you find God? Yes, he's right there. Go pick up the crown. Starts with Fatiha. In your life, some of us became thinkers. Scripture will tell you that. We became thinkers. We were very spiritual in our life. We became leaders. We were leaders. Leaders for the community. When you go to these mental men and they prophesize and they call thinkers. That's what they was called in the early life. It was called thinkers, brothers and sisters. And so if we don't wake up and understand, and as individual, we're not going nowhere. I never wanted to be an individual. When I was in Cornerstone, I loved being with the brothers. And when we moved at 5, but they used to think it was 20 of us. And we went around the country. Here come those 5 brothers. Here come those 5 brothers. We took over Don King's office because why? He needed Muhammad Ali. We had heard of Muhammad. Nobody would think Don said, man, get those Muslims out of my conference room. We broke in every party. We went everywhere. We did it all. But something happened. And something happened. And when something happened that there's confusion, I don't be around confusion. But I enjoyed being around those 5 brothers. Boy, we had fun. We was over here, over there, over here. We had things going. We were doing closed circuit. You got the wine and dine, we call it. You want to watch Ali, you come and buy our ticket at a table that will feed you on closed circuit. We were doing a lot of good things. We were doing a lot of good things. But something happened. When something happened, it was a divide. I said, listen, whatever money we got in the bank, whatever deals we got is all yours. Just give me my piece of paper on that wall there. I had to bring a lawyer that everybody loves. I mean, he was one of the baddest lawyers in the state of New Jersey named Norman Fishbein. I had a little conversation about getting my license. He said, look on that wall. That license says Murad Muhammad. It's not no corporation. That's an individual. And I left with nothing. I tell my wife this all the time. If you don't trust in Allah, you'll live like a peasant. And that's what we have to teach our children. You got to always think big. Allah will give it to you if it's right. If it's right, if it's wrong, yeah, you'll get it. Well, it's called temporary heaven for permanent hell. So we walked out, and then one walked to me. His name was Baha. Now, where you going? I'm going with you. You're a promoter. I'm a matchmaker. I said, all right. We hugged each other. I said, you my brother. Don't let nobody think that you're not my biological brother. That's the bond we're supposed to have. 2 broke men just left a piece of money on the table. Went down and I said, hold it. I think we was on like the 17th floor, but I had to go up to the 20-something floor. Went up, walked in, and I said, I'm Rahm Muhammad. Who's the owner here? So the owner came and said, yeah, I know you, Morocco's. Wow, it's the boxing promoter. I said, I like to talk with you. I said, listen, I can make you a great deal of money if you invest. And he gave me that money. I had so much money, I made sure Baha was safe, his family was safe. They moved into another place. Buy everything I could buy for him. We went and got suits and anything we wanted. We were on our way to Africa. Land in Ghana to sell Muhammad Ali versus Kenny Norton number 3. And in my negotiation, I'm good at what I do. Jerry Eisenberg wrote, see, none of this, you can lie. All you got to do, brothers and sisters, is go to the newspaper. Everything I do is history. It's written. That's why I'm in every library in this country, in every newspaper. Go to and find the star legend, Jerry Eisenberg. He's the number one sports writer, especially for boxing. And this was his words. Why Don King couldn't get the green light and can't produce the green money. Why Bob Arum can't get the IRS off their oil, couldn't produce the green money. But there's a young man from North New Jersey just closed a deal for $14 million, and his name is Murad Muhammad. That's in the newspaper, biggest day. That's what made me. I went from being insignificant with no corporation, no partners. Went to Africa, where they said we came from. That's why I don't like living in Africa, because I know the weather, I know the water, I know everything I don't like. I came back, I kissed the floor. I was happy to get on my soil that my ancestors built. Can't tell us to leave this country. But the point is, the reality is, that I can do that by myself with Allah. Allah permitted me and Allah rewarded me to do it. So I became famous. Everybody knew Murad Muhammad. 200 foreign countries know me. Right, I'm on TV. That's what I learned from my Jewish brothers. You're not on TV, you're out of sight, out of mind. Radio, thought I would do radio. I do radio to teach not just religion, life in general. Why? I'm a worldly man. Did worldly things. Gross over $1 billion. But look how many billions they made off me. So, my job is to teach this crime, to bring us all up to another level. Now, don't get me wrong. I got a lot of the foreign brothers that have a great love for me because I speak like this, and I go and back it up what the Quran says. That's why on Friday I say, open up my line. I might open it up tomorrow. It's up to me when I open it, and people question me. And I get some very strong, powerful questions. But it's not just for me, and I'm not showing off. It shows you what's on the minds of the people that listen, that's not in Islam, getting an enlightening understanding of who we are. We are human beings. We are your brother. We are your sisters. And we're not trying to change your religion. That's up to you. You want to change your religion, alhamdulillah, that's up to you. You don't want to change your religion? Alhamdulillah. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to be. It's Allah. But I'm going to die working. Too much I want. If you knew what was in my head, you'd say, this man is a dreamer. Yeah, okay. Seems like my dreams have came true. That's the alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Adamin. So we say to you, brothers and sisters, I shall return tomorrow, inshallah, And I will either open up the line from 7 to 8:45, or I will just teach another subject. But think about it. You're American. You're born in this country. You're American. And you want a piece of this dunya. And we ain't trying to crook or trick no one. We earned it the hard way. We worked for it. So I say anything to hurt anyone out there. I apologize from the bottom of my heart, because that's not my intention at all. And I ask Allah to forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me if I say anything to hurt you. But if I said something in the Quran that wasn't correct, I'm human. So we say subhanAllah, because we're not perfect. Believe me, we're not perfect. But if I give you the motivation, determination to stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your deen, al-fitr, the nature in which you was created, stand up in your obedience, your faith, and your belief in God. That's your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. And if I said anything, brothers and sisters, that you love and that you appreciate and that you want to return tomorrow, and you need to talk to me, just dial or text in or email in to askmuradmuhammad@yahoo.com. A lot of people don't know that sits there for y'all to send any type of message you would love to send to me. And I have my assistant there. She reads every one of them. And she informs me. I greet you from our father, Adam, our biological father. I greet you from our father, the intellectual mind of all nations and nationalities. That's Abraham. Don't confuse it. Don't misconstrue it. It is not our biological father. He is the son of Adam. I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. And we love Jesus because he loved us. He said, in me is in you. What's in you is in me. And he's talking about our nature. And I greet you from the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. Peace and blessings be upon him and his descendants and his companion. He said it a little different. He said, we'll mirror one another. And Allah told him to tell us that he's a mortal human being just like us. So we'll never misconstrue that he's a partner or associate or a son of Allah. He's a slave servant, messenger of God, prophet to us. Allah needs no prophets. All those men was messengers. We, to us, they're all prophets because they prophesied the future. And I greet you from the words in the Holy Quran. Nobody knew this, including the Arabs. They had to study Arabic to order to learn what God says, just like we are learning. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. I was your host tonight, Murad Muhammad. And I reiterate, I shall return, inshallah, tomorrow from 7 to 8:45. We say, oh Allah, those who die for COVID-19, separate their faults from their goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant them Jannah. Oh Allah, those who are suffering from the disease, lift their burden, have mercy on them. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, oh Allah, those who are helping and those who are assisting and those who can't do nothing but pray for them, we ask Allah to give them their barakats and grant them to be able to get into Jannah, paradise. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Thank you. May God be with you. Peace and love.